Okay, Rabosai, we are
recording in progress.
When we last left our heroes, we had just started looking at the Gemara on Daf and Aleph. We'll start again from the beginning. Rav Huna Achal Tlesa Rifti Bnei Tlasa Tlasa Bikaba, which is a ton, right? A third of a kab per loaf, and he ate 13 of them. Okay, some people say 13 is lavdavka, but it's still a ton. Amalir Nachman Adi Kafna, right? Okay, we discussed this. He said these are for hunger, or are you still hungry? Meaning this is a lot. Ella kol shachirim kovel obsudet tzarich levarich. No, as long as you ate the shear, that I don't care if you're still hungry. As long as you ate the shear that an average, a normal person would be kovel suda, you have to make a bracha, and l'chora he means a bracha of hamotzi and birkas hamazal. Most Rishonim say he made mezonos and alamichya, except for the Rif and Rashi and Mal Alpha days. But he has to say, everyone agrees that if you eat shachirim kovanolav, Rav Nachman says you have to say hamotzi and birkas hamazal. Rav Yehuda have asked the very bay Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva asked the kamayi pasim abekistan. He heard them saying Amotzi on Pasuk B'Kisnin. Amalu might tzitzi dekashamano. What is this? He made a play on words, some sort of a pun, because Hamotzi is like tzi, and so tzi. Are you saying tzitzi tzi? And tzitzi means chirping of birds. Right? How do you say chirping in modern day Hebrew?
Tziftzuf.
Tziftzuf. Okay, then it was tzitzi, was chirping of the birds. So he says, what is this chirping I hear? Dilma Hamotzi Lechon Arts Kamar Chidur. Are you saying Hamotzi? That's crazy. I'm relaying. They say, yes, we're saying Hamotzi. Tanya of Muna Omer Chiru Yehuda Pasma Bekiz Marchalo Hamotzi. Like this Braisa, that you say Hamotzi. Vamar Shmuel Lechon Arts Muna. And Shmuel Pasma like the Braisa. Amr Lu Ein Lechon Arts Muna. No, Shmuel didn't say Halacha like Ramuna. Shmuel said Halacha is not like Rav Muna. Amr Lu Vamar Domer Shmuel Shmuel Achmoni Yas Marchalo Marchalo Alei Hamotzi. But didn't you say in the name of Shmuel, right? Same Shmuel, that lachmanios, which are either possible kistin or equivalent to possible kistin, you can use for either instead of bread for the purpose of eruv chatziris, where you need bread, and you say amotzi shani hasam dekava suda sayolai. That's different because that has kviya suda. Aval hechalokav suda sayolai, but without kviya suda, no. And that is the end of the sugya, and the askana seems pretty clearly to be that pasim of a kistin and lachmanios, if you're koveya suda, then you say hamotzi and birkas hamazon lachora. If you're not koveya suda, you say mezonos and lachora, except for Rashi and the Rif, which are big exceptions, but nonetheless, you say alamichya. Okay, what exactly are lachmanios? Here it's not so clear. Rashi says lachmanios are uble, and Rashi said pasa babakistin is ke'ein uble shalanu. Maybe he means they're both uble, and same as pasa babakistin. Most Rishonim seem to assume lachmanios are the same as pasa babakistin, but we will come back to that towards the end of the shir. But we know for sure they're similar to Pasuk B'Kistin in terms of Kviya Suda. Okay, so the just one interesting halacha l'maisa point. If you just looked at Rav Huna here, if you just looked at Rav Huna, you would get one idea. But if you look at Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, if you just look at the Gemara here, it seems to be that the bracha depends on, not on my personal subjective kviya suda, but on the shir sha'achirim kovanel of suda. And that is the psak, for example, of Rabbeinu Yonah says, the shir that achirim are kovanel of suda. The Rush says, the shir that achirim are kovanel of suda. The Rush quotes this from Rabbeinu Moshe. It's not clear who he means by Rabbeinu Moshe, because you contrast him with the Ravid, which you would think it's pretty obvious that Rabbeinu Moshe is the Rambam, but we don't find the Rambam ever saying anything of the sort. So it could be he was quoting a different Rabbeinu Moshe, who we don't have written records of, but it's not so clear. And many other poskim say that it's like Rav Nachman, Shir Shecherim Kobanolov, seems pretty straightforward. So how to measure Dios Suda? So Rav Nachman says, see better days, you go by Achirim Kovanolov. That seems to be the Pashim shot. Pretty straightforward in Rav Nachman. Achirim Kovanolov. And that is the Psak of the Rush, Rabbeinu Yonah. And in the end, that's how we Paskin the Maisa, right? That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, black and white. If you eat Shir Shachirim Olav, that is Kli Yisuda, regardless of how you feel. If you don't eat Shir Shachirim Kovan Olav, that is not Kli Yisuda, regardless of how you feel. We don't care about your subjectivity at all, according to the Mechaber. We only care about the objective Shir Kli Yisuda, as he says. Etc. It's very clear. We don't care at all about you. We only care about Achirim. And this is the Shulchan Aruch. And the Achronim all are Machri this way. That's what Pascha Ochel Maisa, that we don't care about your, at least so far, about your subjective experience, only about the Shir Shachirim Kovan Olav.
Is this the same as by Pasir Kovaya Suda Motsi, even if you didn't even, if you just ate a little bread? Is this Kovaya Suda on the Kisnin or whatever, or is it the whole Suda?
Okay, we'll get to that. Now, there are, however, three other opinions. The Rush quotes the Ravid, when the Rush quotes the Ravid and says, no, if you're a Kovei Olav, then our Ravid Kosav, Vim Haya, we don't have this original from the Ravid. Remember, the Ravid wrote Chidush Manol Shas, which we hardly have. Vim Haya Kovei Olav, Afilo Mashim, Varchala Betchila Motzi, Vosof Shalosh Brachos. If you're a Kovei Olav, then you say Hamotzi and Berkas Hamazon. Seems like this is where the Me'iri got his opinion from. What does the Me'iri say? What does he mean? So the Michtam also quotes the Ravid. There are not a lot of Rishonim who quotes the Ravid, and it's very clear the way he quotes the Ravid. He complicates it a bit more. He says, means if either you eat Shir Shachirim Kovan Olav, or you yourself are Koveya on it, then you say Birkas Hamazon at least. I'm at least Birkas Hamazon. Okay, the Mechtam thinks maybe not necessarily Hamotzi, but we, for the sake of simplicity, we'll not go into that. So, says the Mechtam quoting the Ravid, and Lechori, that's also the Rush, means quoting the Ravid. The Rush says only one way. If you're Koveya love, you say Birkas Hamazon. He doesn't deny what Rav Nachman says, that if a Chayim Kovan Olav, you also say Birkas Hamazon. And that is also the opinion of the Me'iri, who Lechori got it from the Ravid, right? They were in the same the same locale, right? What does the Me'iri say himself? Now, but he quotes the second Shita. He says, V'im kava sudas olam v'arach hamotzi v'gimel brachos, v'im lo kava el sha'achav decha sha'achirim kovan olav v'kach, af bezum v'arach hamotzi v'gimel brachos. Either way. And that could be Shana Rav Nachman also, right? Meaning, if you're just reading Gemara, you say Rav Nachman says when you eat Achirim Kovan Olav, you have to bench. And what if you don't eat Achirim Kovan Olav, but eat your Kovan Olav? Rav Nachman, the Russian reading understood, he says we only care about Achirim. That's not true. He said we care about Achirim L'chomer. If you eat what Achirim Kovan Olav, you have to bench. What if you don't eat what Achirim Kovan Olav, but your Kovan Olav? He doesn't say either way. And if you continue in the Gemara, you say, Dekava sudase, it's sudase yalave, right in the continuation of the Gemara. So you put the beginning and end together. Rav Nachman says, if you eat what Achirim Kovan Olav, you bench. Later on, the Gemara says, if you yourself a Kovei, you say a Motzi, and the Chor bench. So you put two and two together, you do Rav Nachman. Plus, who's talking later in the Gemara? Who is talking? This is a complicated question, right? Rav Yehuda, I guess it's Rav Yehuda in the end, right? Plus Rav Yehuda says either you or Acherim. And this is the psak of the Ravid, quoted in two places, the Rosh and the Michtam, and the Meiri. However, yeah?
This is how the Manigant reads, like, it's the Hamia, the Rosh and Brit as well.
The Havimita.
No, not the Hamia. I mean, he thinks it's true, but then Tor doesn't say it, so okay, it can't be true.
I mean, the Rosh clearly doesn't say it. He rejects the Ravid, no, and passes like Rosh and Moshe.
In the beginning part, and then he says that Namaskana is.
Yeah, okay. That's I think it's much more likely that as Diyu than Maskana, he was just not getting into the details, right? Okay, but the Meiri quotes Gaone Sfarad. We're not sure who he means by Gaone Sfarad here. But the Meiri quotes from Gaone Sfarad. It says, Gaone Sfarad kasu shekol she'ina koveya afti shacherim kov mekach ina varach oni nimzonos ve'in shalosh. If you're not koveya, it's only nimzonos. And if you are koveya, it's hamotzi. We don't care about acherim at all. We only care about you. This is the Gaone, the Meiri, B'shem Gaone Sfarad says, it only depends on you. What happened to Rav Nachman? Correcting Rav Hunan, saying, Achirim Kovin Olav. So what do these Gaone Sfarad have to say? That we pass like Rav Huna. After all, Rav Nachman had the last word in this story. Who says that means he's right? Everyone until now said he's wrong. We showed him. Thought that means Rav Huna, the Shulchan Aruch thought that means Rav Nachman's right. He got the last word. But it says righteous, he got the last word in this quote of the Gemara. Rav Huna did something. Rav Huna didn't bench. Who says Rav Nachman told me you have to bench and he listened? Or posterity listened? Maybe it's Machlok Shem Rav Nachman and we don't know how to paskin yet. So if we don't know how to paskin yet, what do? We go on to the next story in the Gemara, which is Machriya for us. And Rav Yehuda said the words, Kava Sudase Alei. Now again, what would the Russian Rav Yonah say? Say no. Rav Yehuda's Kava Sudase Alei was meant to be interpreted in light of Rav Nachman, Kavasudase, based on Acherim. But if you assume like Rav Huna, and why would you pass like Rav Huna if you didn't get the last word? Plus, Rav Yehuda, and here we would say interpret Rav Yehuda in light of Rav Nachman is the first pshat. Okay, so either you interpret Rav Yehuda in light of Rav Nachman, just a chirm, or no. Rav Nachman says one thing, the story later on says something else, or no, the story later on is about like Rav Huna against Rav Nachman. We were the Maskan of the Gemara, like, and therefore the Gaone Sfarad says it only depends on you. Who agrees with the Gaone Sfarad? He's not the Gaone Sfarad, because he has his own nickname in the year. But who agrees with the Gaone Sfarad? What? Rashi, no, I don't see Rashi having a chra here. I think the Rambam. What does the Rambam say? Listen to the Rambam. What does the Rambam say? He says, very simple. Mevarech al bar mei mizonos, v'im kava sudaso aleha mevarech hamotzi. Now remember, the Rambam is writing the Mishnah Torah. He's not writing it for you to read when you finish learning the Gemara as a sikkum. He's writing it for you to just read the Mishnah. He writes explicitly. You can just read the Mishnah Torah, know the halacha. He said, kava sudaso aleha. He doesn't say anything about Shir Shacherim Kovin Olav. How would the reader possibly guess Shir Shacherim Kovin Olav if the Rambam just wrote Kovasi Daseh? The Chor, the Rambam, I'm not saying the Rambam is the Gaone Sfarad because the Rambam is a different nickname in the he's Gedolei Mechaperim. But nonetheless, it must be the same Shita. And
maybe it's not the same, because the Rambam holds the Rabbi to Maflok. Rambam holds like the Rib, probably, and the Maflok is Rav Huna and Rabbi Yehuda, and Maflok is Rav Huna and Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yehuda. They're dealing with pots, and there's no discussion.
Or the that's true. You don't mean like the Rif. We don't know how the Rif held me like the Bahag. That's okay, true. According to the Bahag, you may maybe it's more likely the Rambam held like the Bahag. Although you'd think then he should bring down Rav Nachman, so they also bring to Mazon, but you're right. According to the Baha'i, you would get the same results. You would say, what does Acherim necessarily have to do with anything? The truth is, in the Rif, it's the Rif is not 100% clear. The Rif basically quotes the Gemara. There are, and ends with, Okim Levit Kava Alayhu. So there's some Akron who want to say the Rif, like the Rambam, he ends with the words Kava Alayhu, but it's hard to tell. He basically quotes the Gemara.
Wikipedia says, Gaone Sfarad is the Rimigash.
Then it would make sense that it would be the same sheet as the Rambam.
Doesn't he say that it's that Achayim's cover one thing and you're covered the other? And Achayim's covered the Bracha Choron and you're covered the Bracha Rishon?
No, I think you're covered both. He says, let's see. But im kavalav, afkil bim atmevar tchil hamotil, so shalosh brachos. Shalosh brachos.
Yeah, hamotil and shalosh. So in other words, either way is kovea, the berks hamotil. That's your kovea.
Either you or Achshir Shachira gives you berks hamotil.
Where does
the only difference is bracha rishona.
The only bracha rishona. Yeah, fine. Agree.
Correct. The way the Mikdam quotes him is that the bracha achrona is either way. The bracha rishona is only if you're koveya tamotzi. If you only eat the amount that achem are going to eat, then we don't know that till the end, and therefore it only affects the bracha
achrona.
Correct. At least the way the Mikdam quotes him.
Okay,
at least the way the Mikdam quotes him. Correct. That's what I wasn't going to get into, but you're absolutely okay. How do we know what the Rambam thought Rav Huna, Rav Nachman were talking about? The Rambam is based on the end of the Gemara.
Yeah, so.
No! The Mahag held up Rav Huna, Rav Nachman was about regular bread, and the rest of the Gemara is about Pasavo Kistan. So we can't know what the Rambam held up Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, because he doesn't quote Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, he only quotes the end of the Gemara. Which is for sure about possible kissings, before. Right? The Mahag just disagreed with everyone else as to whether until the story is about regular bread or not. And we have no idea what the Rambam thinks. So we can speculate, but we won't. Okay, let me just, and now we know how to paskin. We go by a chayrim, but there's a makam for a chakira here. Right? What's the makam for the chakira about going by a chayrim is, there are two ways you could say that the shear is kol sha'achirim kovin. You could say that it's because that's the takana of the Rabbanan. They picked an amount. That's the amount what is the amount that achirim are kovin alav? What is the amount that achirim are kovin alav? Yeah. Interesting question. If it's the amount that you're koveon, then it's the amount that you're koveon. You make a meal out of it. Okay, still yesh ladun. Exactly what it means that you make a meal out of it. Is it how much you fill your belly, or is it, you know, how much you are machshavit? Maybe we'll come back. You know, whether you make it your main meal of the day, you know, it's sort of defined by the what else you eat that day, or by how much you eat now. But achirim kovin, let's say we pass achirim kovin alav. What is the shear that achirim kovin alav? What is the shear? How many shitas are there? As to what is the shear shachirim kovin alav? No, I mean, in the simple shot, there are three shitas, two more mainstream shitas and one more obscure shitas. What is the shir shachirim kovin alav? So, if you want to know in halacha, how big is a meal? Where do you need a meal in halacha? Where do you need a meal's worth of bread in halacha? Hilchos?
Erev,
you need a meal's worth of bread. And what is the shir? What, in one word, three-letter word, what is the shir for how much bread you need for an erev meal?
Two meals. Shtei.
Pras.
A pras, which is half of a loaf, which is why you say a loaf is two meals, right? Hence, kedei achilas pras, right? A pras literally means half a loaf. Pares is to break something. So half a loaf is a meal, and how big is a pras? Is famous as Machlok Rishonim all over the Shulchan Aruch. He's never Machaber's never Machria. It's not one of these things that was invented in Machlok Rishonim because we weren't sure what a line meant in Shas. It's Machlok Tanoim. It's just a Machlok is how we paskin. Meaning it's a very ancient Machlokes. What are the two? So what are the two shitas? How big a process? It's either
three or four
beitzim. Three or four beitzim, right? We should know that from many parts of Shulchan Aruch, yeah. Right? The Rambam holds us three beitzim, Rashi holds us four beitzim. Yeah. Again, it's Machlokes Rav Shimon and the Chacham originally. So the Kapos Tamarim famously says, and a bunch of Achronim follow him, that from here we see the Shir Kviya Suda Shachirim Kovin Olav. You need an objective Shir. The objective Shir is three or four beitzim. Yeah. The objective Shir is three or four beitzim. That is the Kviyos, that is the shear of Kviyos Suda, because that's the shear of Kviyos Suda for Erev. However, the Kapos Tamarim, the Ode says a pras, which is Gimel O Dalet Beitzim, where we learn from Erev. However, most Achronim reject him. Why? Because Shirfa Erev Erev is the kind of Drabana, and they were super duper makel. If you look at the Gemaras that discuss how to determine that shear, they tried to figure out like the scenario in all of like humankind where you have the smallest meal possible and we're making that much for Erev. So that's not a real meal. That is some, you know, legal fiction, kula Drabana for Erev. That's a meal. I'm saying that's like, you know, I give you that for breakfast and that for dinner every day, you'll starve to death. That's not a meal. So most achronim reject that. And the Mishnah Brura quotes from, is there any other possibility for an objective measure of a meal in halacha? I don't know of another great place where we find a meal, but in Chumash, how big is a meal? In Chumash, how big is a meal? Assume you have two meals a day, right? Not modern Western three meals, which some people do, some people don't. But in Chumash, do we know how big a meal is in Chumash?
Half an omer.
Half an omer, right? The mun fell exactly. It was rationed, right? It was perfectly rationed, right? How do we know that it was rationed perfectly with the right amount without any mistakes? So it came from Hashem. Right? Omer lagulgolis. Each person got an omer, which means a meal is half an omer. Half an omer is much, much bigger than three or four beitzim. Anyone ever? Okay, maybe we have chumers nowadays. Anyone ever?
Two meals.
Hold on. How do we say this in the best way? Anyone ever have someone in their household bake challah? Right? And there's a shear for afrashas challah. The shear for afrashas challah is an omer, right? Because it says, so sechem means the way you did it in the midbar. So sechem, like you guys in the time of the Chumash who live in the midbar, what you need every day, and the assumption is they need both meals together every day, and there were single people who only need one omer. So an omer is a shear challah, right? Anyone at home remember baking challah, their wife baking challah, and they have a shear challah, let's say without a bracha. Right, shear challah, without a bracha, me'ikra din. How many loaves of bread do you get out of that?
It's a kilo.
What? 5-6 loaves of bread. Right, 5-6 loaves of bread is, let's say, where you're machrish without a bracha. Let's say, you know, you want to be macher, maybe the shear's a little bigger, but minimum 5-6 loaves of bread. Okay, maybe we're a little extra machmir, so let's say, who knows. 5-6 loaves of bread, so half of that is 2-3 loaves of bread. That's a lot of, if this is a very small meal, that's a very large meal. But the Shulchan Aruch says that, right? The Shulchan Aruch throws into parentheses, he says, Ein asudas rov adam abriyam, a normal, healthy person, she'ochem in a levad, will lift it if you eat just bread. And look, it's your omer lagogoles lebein sudos. An omer is two sudos. It's half an omer. Half an omer is a lot. You know, he's learning from the man. Half an omer is a good, I don't know, it could be three of my wife's challahs. My wife's challahs are pretty heavy.
Wait,
you know,
the halacha, they say a kilo 200 is the minimum
shear. So 600 grams. No, but he's learning from that. 600 grams of flour, and then you knead it with water, and then you bake it. That's a lot of bread. I don't mean the bread weighs 600 grams. I don't mean the bread weighs 600 grams. I mean, you start with 600 grams of flour, and you bake bread, you get a lot of bread. You know? It's a very, very hearty meal. Okay, the assumption is maybe Hashem in the Midbar gave everyone the heartiest meal. Because Mela, the Omer was only for good for you, not bad for you, so it didn't hurt to overeat. So this way, even the hungriest guy, even a teenage boy, could probably eat that every day. And that's the Shulchan Aruch Rav. What?
That's all they eat.
I know that's all they eat. So far, that's all they eat. It says the Shulchan Aruch Rav. He says, Chatzi Omer, which is a lot of bread. Chatzi Omer. And notice that we're measuring two different things here. The Gimler Dalet Beitzim seems to be at least the assumed measuring the size of the bread. Chatzi Omer is measuring the size of the flour. If you learn from the midbar. However, neither of those are the mainstream approach. The mainstream approach is what the Mishnah Brura quotes from Rov Achronim. What does he quote here from Rov Achronim? He says, "Shir she'achirim regilim lisboa mimenu levado." The shir that an average person would be full of a meal, and the assumption, well, the achronim is two meals a day. And he quotes this from Kosvo Achronim, who are the Achronim. Okay, here he says the Magen Avraham and the other Achronim. This is Rove Achronim. A few places he quotes other Achronim. He says the Gra, etc. So the Rove Achronim say that it just means an average meal. What's an average meal? We don't know. In every time and place, they might have a slightly different average meal. I don't know how much, if I had bread twice a day, how much bread would I eat for each meal? I don't know. Maybe I eat a loaf of bread. I don't know. I think a loaf of bread would be a good meal. Get me through the day and then get me through the evening. But that's how we paskin, says the Mishnah Berurah. Interestingly, he says that not everyone's. I think the Minhag Olam is like the Mishnah Berurah and Rav Achronim, who say, put him in here, who say that it's an average meal. Like, just judge what a meal is in your country. What I want to point out, the Mishnah Berurah says in the end, he thinks that no one really takes into account the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, but he thinks that it's kedai to be machmer for the kapos tamarim. What does it mean to be machmer for the kapos tamarim? Either eat less than four beitzim. He says, Mela, you don't have to be machmer for three beitzim. That's already some sort of sfeitzeit. You have to be machmer for the kapos tamarim, and then when a cross is three beitzim, it's too much of a chumra. But either eat less than four beitzim or more than a full meal. And that way you don't get into the middle. But Lamaitz, if you do get into the middle, he's very clear that the psak is like most achronim. The 1, 2, 3 was just an order of size, not an order of how I presented it, obviously. One is smallest, three is largest, two is the middle. But he paskins the ikra din that it's just an average meal in your time and place, although he suggests being machmer the kapos tamarim and avoiding being machmer to avoid the situation. Okay, very yeshivish people will never eat more than four beitzim of pasuk of kistin unless they are koveya a full suda and wash and bench to avoid this machlokus.
There are two places in the Gemara that the Gemara relates to Kriya Suda objective. One is the story of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman, where Rabbi Nachman says clearly that the amount that Rabbi Yehuda ate is certainly what Acharim are called Kriya Suda. The other one is the Brisa about Ma'arvit. And maybe that's the definition of Kriya, and maybe that's the definition of Kriya Suda that the Rabbi is using. He doesn't tell you anything about it. That's, he sees the terminology as being an objective terminology. Not subject. At the word Rabbi uses the words Kriya Suda.
It's not impossible, but
I don't understand why anybody would say that.
You don't understand why anyone would say the Rambam is the Gaonei Sfarad, other than them being the Rimigash, which I'm not going to prove anything from. In Kava Sudaso Aleha. If you were Kofair, you're Suda. It just sounds... Okay, we
don't know what it means.
Fine, we can argue about it.
What does Kofair Suda mean?
Because I think the shot is you make it your fixed meal, as opposed to a snack. Okay.
Very subjective.
Yeah, and a Konami. Here.
In the robot, I mean, that it depends on the group of people.
Give me a second.
Okay.
That's what the Mishnah Berurah says in the Bi'ur Halacha. In the Bi'ur Halacha, he says, well, it's not objective to your country and century. He says that if you're a zaken or a na'ar, he doesn't mean a teenager, he means a little kid. Shachilos and muat beteva, then it goes by your age group. Let's come back to that in a moment. So
it's such a fundamental term that appears in all these places. To think that it means it's subjective.
Okay. We can't prove it. What can I do? Okay, I just want to point out that Yesh Makom Kam Lachkor. When we pass it goes by Achirim Kovin Aleha, what do we mean by that? Do we mean that Chazal made an objective rule? This is Shirbias Achirim Kovin Aleha? You know, they only define it by Achirim Kovin Aleha? Or do we mean no? Chazal said if you're Koveya. However, there's a concept of, what's a phrase a lot of the Rishonim bring in here? Batla Daito Eitzel Kol Adam. Do they have this Chakir in the Masifta? Batla Daito Eitzel Kol Adam. And therefore, it's because of your koveya. But you don't decide if you're koveya, because Batladaita is kolad. If you do something weird, then we interpret what you're doing in light of kolad. If I decide I invented this new diet, right? Every day someone invents a new diet. In my new diet, a kviya suda is half a cookie. So okay, Baladaitos Gotham, it's not really a kviya suda. Or if I decide I invented a new teenage boy diet, and in my new diet, three chocolate cakes is a snack. Maybe I mean it sincerely, but I'm still crazy. So maybe Yeshlach, or when we paskin Shir Sha'achirim Kovin Olav, is that just a Shir Stam, or is it that it really depends on my kvios, but ladaito eitz al kol adam, that might affect the machlokas we just saw, do we define the shear by a certain measure? Or by social mores, by the minag ha makom. So what could be a nafkamina, this kakira? Nafkamina number one could be, or aleph, could be maybe what the shear is. If you say it's a shear stam, then it would be likely one or three, meaning make a shear stam. Say, like everything else we're doing, they made a shear, four baked a pras. Whether a pras three beds or four beds in the second half, a pras is a shear and shas. A pras, half an omer, whatever. If it depends, eight kol adam, then lachora we would say shear two, like the poskim, which is okay. So go look at kol adam. Who cares what kol adam ate in the Sinai desert 3,300 years ago? Who cares what kol adam ate? The type of adam they had in mind with the meat hokas erevin. We cure the they went another meat in 2024 in Woodmere, or 2024 in Yerushalayim for us, etc. And then there would be other nafkaminas as well. I'm already leaning then halacha towards one side. Another nafkamina could be this beer halacha that Joel just referenced, which is what if there are different age groups. If you say it's a stam shear, not batladaito etzel kol adam, then you should say that it's the same shear for all ages. If it's really just a shear, then it should be a shear. But if you say if kosher and kol adam means a shear, it's a shear for all ages. Even if you want to say it's the average person in your time and place, it shouldn't be an average person. If you say batladaito etzel kol adam, then what do you mean? If I'm old and I act like an old person, then it's Butler Dietel's Garden because there are more young people in the world. It's ridiculous. I'm a normal old person. If I'm a 5-year-old and I eat a 5-year-old serving, you're going to say Butler Dietel's Garden, I'm crazy because I'm not eating the way 20-year-olds eat? No, that's perfectly normal. Then you would say the Bir Halacha. I don't think the Bir Halacha is a mucker for this. He doesn't quote.
Why would you limit it to just age as a differentiator?
Well, in some ways you have to draw the line of Butler Dietel is called Adam. What do you make? Weirdos are different than non-weirdos. Dieters are different than non-dieters. Gluttons are different than non-gluttons. And that's all called Butler Dietel is called Adam. Because it has the only two, you would only differentiate based on very objective criteria. Now, you might say it's not only age. Maybe it's gender. Maybe it's, you know, it's country, town, province, etc. But just character traits. That's exactly what Baladaikolism is invented for, saying that if you have a weird character trait, that doesn't count. So it doesn't have to be Dafka age group, but it has to be something equivalent. Depends on your age group. Of course, you get a little England or so problem, which is how finely do you granulate here? But okay, we'll leave that for now. Another interesting nafkamina might be, the strange mugging of rum. Okay, we got a little ahead of ourselves for the mugging of rum. But what's the big chiddush of the mugging of rum? Tremendous earth-shattering chiddush of the mugging of rum. What's the earth-shattering? It's someone besides Zachariah. What's the earth-shattering chiddush of the mugging of rum?
Sorry.
earth shattering finish among the bronze.
That if people usually give with the left vest, even if you eat the same effort without the left vest.
True. That's a true answer. But even before you get to that, what's the tremendous chiddush the Magen Avraham that I don't think anyone said before him?
That you can take into account the other foods.
That you count the other foods. That let's say I have crackers. I have crackers, and with the crackers, I put on herring, I put on tuna fish, I put on egg salad, I put on chopped liver, my whatever, and I have a little potato kugel and this and that. Then I didn't eat a full meal worth of crackers. I ate a full meal worth of crackers and everything else, I would have burst open. I ate a full meal. I wasn't chaser anything. A full meal, what do we do nowadays? A normal meal, no one eats a meal just of bread. Who eats a meal just of bread? People in the time of the Gemara. Your regular person in the time of the Gemara had nothing to eat but bread. That was what it meant to be 95% of the population once upon a time. But we eat bread with a lot of other things. So what if I eat bread with a lot of other things? Does that count towards the a shear of Kviya Suda or not? Meaning, is it only if I'm Kobeya Suda on the Pasva Bekistin itself, or even if I'm Kobeya Suda on the Pasva Bekistin together with the other foods? So this is a big machlokis. The Magen Avraham is mechadish. Not quite sure. His proof is very, the Achronim say, they're very unconvinced. Tosu says they're Kobeya Suda on the kneeling on Purim, and obviously they eat lots of other foods with it also. How do I know? Maybe they had some, maybe on Purim, they just ate a full meal of Nila, and they ate their bread at a different time of the day. They ate their meat on a different half of the day or something. I don't know exactly what Tosus meant by that, but says the Magen Avraham, Chiddush the Magen Avraham, you count the other foods together with your bread for the sake of Kviya Suda. You count the other foods together with the Pasuk of Bekistin. So if I have a bunch of crackers together with all the other foods, and I eat a full meal, then I wash and bench, even though the crackers themselves would only have been a snack. That is the Chiddush of the Magen Avraham. Right? I don't think anyone said it before the Magen Avraham, and it is very controversial. There are Achronim who rejected the Magen Avraham, the Birkei Yosef. He questions the Magen Avraham. Let's call it rejecting for the sake of simplicity. The Birkei Yosef, he rejects the Magen Avraham. And the Aruch HaShulchan, at great length, rejects the Magen Avraham as well. Not everyone agrees with this Magen Avraham. My impression is that most Sfardim nowadays do not accept this Magen Avraham. Because the Birkei Yosef quotes a lot of Sephardi poskim who do not accept the Magen Avraham. Most Ashkenazim do accept the Magen Avraham because the Mishnah Berurah quotes him. Rav Moshe says the Rav Pashut that we paskin like him. So before we get into some halachal ma'aseh details of the Magen Avraham, yeah. What? No, the Omer is all flour. What do you mean? Of course the man is flour. The tachanu very chayim. They would grind it in the mill. The asuo so ugos. And they would make it into... It's not wheat flour. I understand. But it is clearly meant to be parallel to wheat flour. Again, the drasha is that it could taste like anything you want. The fact that it could taste like anything you want doesn't tell us how they physically, that was only in your head, right? It doesn't tell us how they physically related to it. If you read the psukim, what happened? The omer fell. You either ground it up or you pulverized it with a mortar and pestle. It sounds exactly like wheat. I understand it's not wheat. It is heavenly man, which I don't have a Latin classification for because we only have earthly foods nowadays. But it's clearly meant to be treated like a wheat kernel. Either you crush it and make porridge, Or you grind it and you bake it into bread and reach your so sechem, Chazal darshan, that it's like isas midbar, right? So Chazal clearly understand that a regular person would take his omer lagul goles, grind it into flour and knead it into dough and bake it into bread. So I'm working with, I think Shuvah Shalom Mikra is clearly, I understand that it came down from the heavens and therefore we don't know its, you know, exact, you know, it originated in a different fashion than we're used to. But when the Jews went and collected in the morning, they might as well have a sack of wheat kernels. That's Shuvah Shalom Mikra. Shuvah Shalom Chazal. What? Well, so there's a big deal in the Achronim, what bracha they made on the man, did they make Hamotzi Lechem Min HaShemayim on the man? Many Achronim held they made Hamotzi Lechem Min HaShemayim on the man. It could be also that they didn't have the Takana of Bracha Rishona yet, so maybe they didn't make anything, if Bracha Rishona is Rabbanan, according to everyone but Pnei Yeshua. Anyway, let's get back to our topic. But, says the Magen Avraham, I want to just point out something interesting for the Magen Avraham. He throws in something at the end. He says, you know what? This is halacha l'maisa has tremendous implications. If you are koveya, I mean, you have a full meal. He says you're full, and you eat the amount of pasava bakistan that other people make a meal out of with the other things. Let's take the crackers for example, right? Can we make up numbers for the sake of arguments? Right? If I was only eating crackers, what do I mean by crackers? Right? These are kind of crackers. Knekedim, you know, they come in a sleeve.
The kichol crackers.
Not kichol.
Some crackers.
Oh, some crackers. The awesome crackers that they put out are kiddushes. Right? Yeah. How many of those would I have to eat? I didn't mean those. I meant the ones with like
the creme crackers.
The rectangular ones, but with like diagonal corners. Isn't that what they put in most kiddushes?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like one of the top kiddushes. If you don't go to the right kiddushes, then you don't deserve to understand.
It's got a name. It's got a name. I don't remember what they call it.
No, not tent.
Not tent.
Well, okay. I don't care. I take it back. That was a mistake. That was a mistake. Not tea biscuits. Crackers. Tea biscuits are the opposite of crackers. Okay. You guys are actually doing this to me on purpose. Crackers. How many crackers would I have to eat? Have a full meal, meaning twice a day, you know, brunch and dinner. How many crackers would I have to eat if that's all I was eating?
40.
40. Let's say 40.
Maybe no.
At each meal?
Yeah. 30? Okay. Crackers. A meal equals 30. So if I eat 30, then I wash and bench. If I eat 29, then I say, again, if I'm not being macro to avoid it, because the Kapos Tamarim and others, I don't think the Mishnah quotes the name Kapos Tamarim, but I think he's the first one who said this. Then I say Mizonos and Alamechia. What if I was at a kiddush and I was having crackers with everything else? I pile on the herring and I pile on the chopped liver and maybe put a little cocoa on the side, etc. How many crackers would I need together with all the other foods?
Five.
Put them beside this.
That's very unclear. Very unclear. Let's say 10. Meal with other foods, we'll come back to in a second. Equals 10. What is the psak of the Magen Avraham? Let's get the psak of the Magen Avraham here.
10.
Okay?
He doubled.
Psak of the Magen Avraham is, if I eat 30, then check means I wash and bench. If I eat 10 with the other foods, then I wash and bench. If I eat 9, then no matter what, I don't wash and bench. What if I eat 10 alone? you would think I shouldn't wash and bench. That's not a meal. No one's going to say, I had dinner tonight, I had 10 crackers. That's not a, I'm not going to be full having 10 crackers for a meal. But what's the big kiddush going on in Avraham? He brings back subjectivity. He says, if, he says, then it depends. And this is the kiddush le'inyaneinu of the Magen Avraham. Let's get this down. Halacha le ma'aseh. If I am full, full, he doesn't mean, well, I just ate 8 loaves of bread 5 minutes ago, so I'm already full. No, he means if I'm full for this meal, right? If it's a meal for me, then I wash and bench. If it's not a meal for me, then I say mezonos and al mechir. What's his chiddush? We're mitzarif two things. If it's a meal for me, and it's the amount that other people would make a meal out of with other things, you put those two factors together and you wash and bench. And that's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah and Chav Daled, the magic Mishnah Berurah, about this. He says, Kosvu ha'achronim, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah and the Mishnah Berurah. Now, what's the svara for this compromise? So if you look in the Matzah Shekel, the Matzah Shekel says, it's a Tzeref Shito, right? The Ravadi called the Tzeref. He says, well, there's one sheet that we go by your kfiyas yourself, right? That's all right, even maybe the Rambam, maybe not, at least the Svara and the Iri, etc. And there's another shita that the definition of the amount is however much people would eat with other food, even if they didn't eat the other food. So you put those two shitas together, and it's a tzeir shita. A tzeir shita is not a lumdus, you understand. However, the Lushay Srad and the Mishnah Berurah understand differently. That what's the Svara? Why? What is the Svara? Says the Svara of the Mishnah Berurah, fascinatingly, and Lushay Srad said it before, but I don't know if I ever said it before the Lushay Srad, no, on my page. You know, I don't know who might have said it, anything. But says the Lushay Srad in the Mishnah Berurah against the Machzah Shekel, says the Svara is, because really we should always go by what you eat. Just but l'daito etzol kol adam, but, and here's the big kiddush, is only if you make a meal out of something that no one else would make a meal out of in any circumstances. If you make a meal out of something by itself, which other people would make a meal out of with other foods, that's not Bavladaito, because you still have some similarity and closeness to the das of other people. And that's a big kiddush. I would not necessarily have said this on my own, but that's the svara according to the svara is that then we don't say batladaito etzel kol adam. Meaning, what's he saying? He's saying that, again, it's a big kiddush. I'm not saying I would have said it myself. If you do something that other people would sort of do, you don't say batladaito. So if I make a meal of 10 crackers, no one else can make a meal of 10 crackers, but an average person would make a meal of 10 crackers with spreads, then we don't say batladaito, because what I'm doing, other people would do with an asterisk. It's still a big kiddush, because I would say, who cares? They wouldn't do it the way I'm doing it. But it's not my kiddush, it's the, that's the svara of the Levushei Srad and the Mishnah Berurah, and I'm sure other people, again, the Machzah Shekel, has a different svara for this Magen Avraham. Let's take this back. Basically, the Mishnah Berurah is Lashitase here. He's Lashitase saying that it's not that we really care about Kfiyas Acherim. we really care about you, just as Butler Daito. In which case, we give you some flexibility, meaning the nafkamina would be, how about if you eat 10 crackers and you're full. You eat 10 crackers and you're full. If you're going to say it's an objective shear, the objective shear is 30 crackers. You want to say we count the chopped liver as 20 of the crackers, it's fine. But if you only ate 10 crackers, then pashut that it's mizonos and al hamichya, because you didn't eat the objective shear. But if you're going to say, no, we really care about you, just when we're about to tell you to call Adam if you're crazy, maybe you could say, as long as I'm doing something which has an achiza in what call Adam does, I'm at the edge of the bell curve, but I'm not crazy. So if I'm Kobe Suda, if I eat 10 crackers as a snack, I eat a snack. But if I think a meal is 10 crackers, even though most people don't, but most people think a meal is 10 crackers with spreads, and therefore I'm not crazy, I'm just a step off. And we don't say Butler Daito, it's still a big finish, but you could say, like the Magen Avraham, Lefi, Levushe Srad, Mishnah Berurah, and the Mishnah Berurah Brook Welda Shitase, which is that, and he says explicitly, because Lo Butler Daito, Eitzel Kol Adam, he says explicitly, Mishnah Berurah says, what's the reason? Because we really don't care about what you do, just Butler Daito. And in this case, you have an excuse not to be Butler Daito.
I'm really not understanding the first two. I'm trying to understand why would it be mukhrach? Because a shear stam or batla daito, those would be two different shearim. Why can't he batla daito to that shear stam? I just don't make any sense. How is that the distinction that we're making?
Yeah, okay. I admit that first one is.
It's like three steps removed.
Okay, I will admit. That I will say this. If you're saying it's Butler Daito, don't you think it would make more sense that Butler Daito would have had an average person, not on something found in the Chumash or in Shas? Butler Daito should have been a regular person. If you said an objective shear, I still like it. I'm saying like this. If it's Chazal making an objective shear, they might have said the objective shear depends on your time and place, but they like making objective shear in numbers, so it's likely. I would say, like, I meant by likely less than Lechora. Maybe I should say, maybe. You know, if it's an objective shear, they like numbers. Chazal like numbers. Why do they use numbers? If it's Butler Daito, it's Kol Adam. It could be Butler Daito Kol Adam. You find Kol Adam by the Midbar, or Kol Adam by Hilchos Erevin. But if it's Butler Daito, Kol Adam, it makes more sense that Yudas is only Butler to actual live people, Kalagam. Okay, we can debate it later. But I'm not going to take it back.
Shouldn't the more obvious stuff between us between these two things would be in a case where it's not necessarily easy to be butler daito or not? Like let's say food people don't eat. You go to some foreign country, like those kind of things.
Maybe, but I haven't seen that in the postgame. Maybe I haven't seen it in the postgame.
You write about the Sefer Amichtam here that if you bring wine.
Give me a second. Okay, that wasn't. But that idea conceptually was next on my list, even if that name might have been second or third.
The whole approach of including the other foods, though, is very long-term shiurim, because you mentioned before. Okay, so I put a little.
Added
kugel.
Let me come back. Let me come back to that in a second. Okay, let me just mention that I think there might be another group of nafkaminas, which Joel already mentioned, which is. Is it purely a matter of quantity, or is it also a matter of context? Do we only care about quantity, or do we also care about context? Right? For example, you know, if I'm invited to the White House Hanukkah dinner and they have, you know, full livery garb, waiters, and, you know, every plate costs $500, et cetera, and can you really say that's not kvius? And on the other hand, if I am pushing my kid in a swing on the playground and munching, can you really say that is kvius? Do we care about if I'm sitting down in my house at a kitchen table by myself? That's ambiguous. Sometimes I sit down at the kitchen table to eat a snack. Sometimes I sit down at the kitchen table to eat a meal. But there are some contexts which are less ambiguous. Do we care about the context, or do we care about the amount? It could be the sheer shachir and kovan alav Kol shacherim kol olam is an objective shear, then we care about the shear, not the context. If there are batla daito itzkol adam, then it could be that batla daito itzkol adam might depend on the context. Yeah, maybe I'm eating a little less than some other people, a little more than some other people, etc. But if I mean it as a snack and the context screams out snack, then maybe it's not batla daito itzkol adam. If I mean it as a meal, the context is flashing neon lights, this is a meal, then maybe it's not batla daito itzkol adam. So maybe you can have a nafkamina of context versus, only amount, quantity, versus context. That's what Joel was saying, right? Quantity versus context, and in two ways. Obviously, one way is this direction or that direction, right? What if I eat a lot but casually? What if I eat a lot but casually? So what about a large quantity but a casual setting? Anyone tell me in one five-letter word when Orthodox Jews eat large quantities in casual settings?
Kiddush
and shul. Kiddush and shul is, it's defined as that. Now they start, pushing the envelope a little. Sometimes they like say, well, we're serving rolls and you can make it your Shabbos suda, etc. But that's not most places. And kiddush is defined as not a meal, right? Rabbi Yonah Simonil says, how do you know what your meal is? Well, if you're not eating another meal that day, then that's your meal. You're going to go home and have a bigger meal. How can you have a large quantity and then go home and have an even larger quantity? Okay, so that's the magic of the Neshama Yisera. But you're about to go home and have your real meal. It is defined as a context where you are not having a meal. It's only a snack. It just happens to be a snack that people eat unbelievable quantities of. And they often eat unbelievable quantities of mizonos, as well. And meaning,
so I said specifically that they wanted to be kiddush by milk and soup.
Let's ignore that for now, for the sake of argument. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, I don't understand Orthodox Jews. Says every Shabbos they go to shul, they fress and fress and fress, and they eat a full meal's worth of mizonos. And according to the Shita of the Magen Avraham, which he himself did not agree with, they eat a full meal worth of mizonos with the other foods. For sure they eat a full meal worth. And no one ever washed the bench of the Kiddush. Everyone says mizonos and alamichya at the Kiddush. I don't understand Jews at Kiddushes. And his real answer, me'ikar din, is, and they're wrong, but, the Aruch HaShulchan being the Aruch HaShulchan, does he like to say all the Jews are wrong?
No.
No, he always likes to be lamid z'chus. He say, k'day lamid k'tzas z'chus. Okay, I don't know how l'chachili you can call it if he has to add the word k'tzas. V'il lamid k'tzas z'chus nira l'niyaz daiti kula miloshen arif. What does the riff say? B'toras kisnen bar miyam zonos. B'torah suda, b'torah kviusa, you say gimel brachas. B'torah means context, he thinks. And mishonah machi, and told b'shir ela be'ofen achila. If it's considered as if you eat it like a snack, and he says everyone knows that in a real suda you take your jacket off and you sit at a table. And what are they doing at Kiddush? First of all, they're wearing their shul clothing, and they're standing up, and they're not a real, right? That's why they sit down Kiddush. They haven't had the sit down Kiddushes yet. Right? That's not a real meal. You're clearly, how can you call it a meal if I'm standing up, walking from table to table, wearing my talus? That's not a, it's something like my raincoat. That's clearly not a meal. So he said, that's only mitzchus. And Rav Shlomo Zalman also mentions this in the Shemir Shabbos Kol Chasa. He says, Yesh l'stapik, and our Kiddush is, and everyone eats mizonos and kugel and everything else, but they eat it b'derech arai. Is that called kviyas suda or not? Ad kan l'shono, he was mesopak. Okay, there's clearly a mainstream here, which is that even the Aruch HaShulchan thought, me'ikradin, he did not rely on this. As a matter of fact, he used, I think, some strong language. Call your rei Elokim, your rachek esatzmo mizeh, v'hu rachum yichaperavon. Okay, that's certainly far from the Chachil language, but he has limud z'chos But that would be a great example of a nafka mina would be a kiddush. If you say it's just a shear, then pashat, that would be hamotzi. Oh, birkas hamazon, assume you ate the requisite amount. If you said that it is a matter of batla daita itzchol adam, then you could still say, maybe batla daita itzchol adam, you still ate a full meal. The fact that you are going to eat another full meal, the fact that you ate standing up, is irrelevant. Meaning, you could say we define a meal by how much people satisfy themselves, not by how people act towards the food. Am I just having a little snack or am I filling my belly? But you could say, you don't have to say, you could say, like the limud zechus of the Aruch HaShulchan and the safek of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that it's defined as arai. Arai is defined as the opposite of keva, and therefore it's zonos alamechia. So lemaisa, what should you really do? You should really not rely on this. You should really, when you go to a kiddush, either only have a little mazonos. I always try to be careful to only eat a little mazonos at the kiddush, so I don't get into any spekos. See, after all, if I only have 3 crackers, well, chor then I'm safe. And we'll see what Moshe says. make a meal out of it. Make Shabbos meal out of it is the best good eitzah for the winter months. Make the Shabbos meal out of Kiddush after the Hashkama Minyan. That way, you don't have to worry about fasting until Chatzos on Shabbos. You don't have to worry about eating Shal Shittos when you're too full, etc. But Lemaisa, this is the if the matter of Butler Daito eats a little Adam, then you'd say no. It depends on das of people, not an amount. If it's a matter of amount, it should depend on amount. And what about the other direction? Give me a second. The other direction is, what about if you have a small quantity, but a formal context, such as one example is what the Sefer HaMikdam says, people who bring wine with it. When you bring wine with your possible mekistin, that is already a kviya suda. Wine is a serious thing. I don't know, maybe now they're just saying, no, wine and cheese is not meant as a suda. Wine and cheese is an event. No one thinks wine and cheese is your dinner, right? If people go to a wine and cheese event at the museum, l'chore they go out for dinner beforehand. But I guess in his days, when you brought wine, that was very, very much derek vias maybe. This is also in the Meiri, right? In the Meiri and the Sefer Mechtam, both come from Provence. He also says, Yesh Misha Omer, maybe Yesh Omer is a Mechtam. That whenever you bring wine with it, Shemi Yai Mevusam, same Lashon, he's clearly quoting the Mechtam, he was after the Mechtam, Vishornot, etc., Kviya Sudahu, and he says, Ve'ena Dvarim Derulei Shikolach Yilash Einolim Der Simchom Lelitzad Rav Bakosha Sova, Ena Keba. So he argues whether it's a context of Keba or not. The other place this comes up is, how about a Suda Shabbos? Maybe even Kiddush Mavim Suda. Maybe Suda Shabbos. Maybe only the first 2 meals. Maybe even the 3rd meal. Or maybe even any time you say Kiddush, which would be the opposite direction. Maybe Suda Shabbos makes it Keva. Why? Because that's a Suda de context. And that's the discussion that I have a lot of people, but I think I put the Shari. Exactly. And that's exactly what the Shari Tshuva says that I put on the Makaros. No? Unless that was only Birka Yosef says the Shari Tshuva. I am Birka Yosef. Shekasav, etc., etc. Shabbos Koveya Kemoshe Kovas Lemaiser. And then he goes, no, Maricha Giz said that he's Mesopek, and the Ginas Radim said absolutely not, Bashom Panim Ba'ofen, and Baby Yosef said absolutely not, Bachin Amadabar. Now maybe they mean Shabbos, even a snack on Shabbos, but how about Suga Shabbos? That's what Shlomo Zalman talks about in this footnote from the Shmir Shabbos Keholchasa. He says that he has a steer in the Yosef. He says it depends if you're just eating a snack on Shabbos or Suda Shabbos. But Suda Shabbos automatically keva, even if you only have 3 crackers. And then he's been sulfing about Shalosh Shunis. And then Joel says maybe Kiddush Makom Suda, which would be the opposite of this. Anyway, so for example, for example, with wine, when here you clearly have the Sefer HaMichlam, who says it's Keva, or Shabbos. There are different sheets in the Shabbos. Anything on Shabbos is Chashav, or only when you make Kiddush, only three Sudas, right? Or Suda Shabbos. And if you say it's a Shir, then it's a Shir. It's a Shir. Then it's not the Shir. It's not the Shir. But you could say, like the Sefer Mechlin, it's Koveya, although the Hebrew says that's not Koveya. That's just fancy. That's not fixed. But Meiri says it's not real keva, because simcha is not the same as kvias. Kvias has to do with nutrition, not with simcha. But you could say Shabbos is koveya, which the shita of who did we quote it from again? Where did you go? Sorry, we just the Sefer Ksav Yad, etc. Okay, it's machlokes. Could say Shabbos is koveya, or Seudas Shabbos is keva. Those are technically two different shitas. Either whatever you eat on Shabbos is chashav, which is what we find by Meiser, or that Lisuda Shabbos is chashav. So again, I think, do you take into account the context more? The Minhag HaOlam is not to take into account the context. The Minhag HaOlam, and the most folks can say not to.
You have a problem. There are people who koveya Seudas Shlishi from Zonos.
And that's exactly the discussion of Shlomo Zalman in this footnote, that he says, what about people who have their Shal Shudis for Mizonos? He says, you're Yotzei Pasav Abakisnen, and you say Mizonos. And what about the fact that he quotes, there's a Rav Moshe, who says that on Shabbos, it's considered Tvius. And he says, maybe that was only the first two meals. Maybe Shal Shudis doesn't count. Maybe only the first two meals. Anyway, Lamaisa, the Yisham Nafkaminas, it seems to be the mainstream psak, even though emotion is not this way, is when it comes to the context versus the quantity, we don't care about the context, we only go by the quantity. When it comes to the first three Nafkaminas, we basically say, no, we're flexible, it depends on your das, with some giving in to Kol Adam. When it comes to the last three Nafkaminas, which are really a separate set of Nafkaminas, are not necessarily Tobi Habaha, the mainstream halacha. If you want to know the mainstream Minhag HaOlam halacha is, Tavav, Dalet Tavav, the mainstream Minhag HaOlam is that when it comes to the first three Nafkaminas, okay, we go by an objective shear, but that objective shear is some compromise between objective shear and you personally. It's your time and place. It is your age group. It has some flexibility. If you're full, even if other people aren't full, but if they would be full with an asterisk, then it counts. If they would be full with other food, that is, then it counts. When it comes to whether we go by context or by amount, we still go by amount. We seem to, most folks don't take context into account. If you want sort of the bottom line, halacha mice, it's more of a limud zchus or a shitas yachid. So that is one chakira about the amount, which was the Mefurish discussion here. I just want to summarize some halacha l'maisa about the Magen Avraham. Let's just go back to this Magen Avraham. How about Seiruf Macholim Acherim Lishir Tvias Suda? Here we have the Aruch HaShulchan, who are the main dissenters. The Birke Yosef, Aruch HaShulchan, Birke Yosef say, nope, we're not mitzari. If it has to be from the bread alone, maybe in a little while, we'll see why this may be, has to be from the bread alone. And that's what Sfarim hold. Has to be from the bread alone. Although they also hold the Shira as Dalet Beitzim, so they end up being pretty machmer. However, the Magen Avraham and the Mishneh Berurah and the Ibris Moshe, and basically all the Poskim Ashkenaziyim, Poski Ashkenaz. I don't know if they've written Poski Ashkenaz since we left Ashkenaz. Nowadays, or let's say Minig Ashkenaz. Minhag Sfard, Sfard meaning Edus HaMizrach, I mean, is, yep, there with Starfim. You also count the other foods. Then we have a big machlokes in terms of the shita. So we pass even start the other foods. Meaning, even if you don't have a full meal of pasta with a kistin, that's why you go to a kiddush. No one eats a full meal of crackers at the kiddush. That would be a waste. There's so many other delicious foods at the kiddush. But you can easily eat a whole meal of crackers and all the other delicious foods at the kiddush. So what counts towards the other food is a fundamental machlokes between Rav Moshe and most poskim. Rav Moshe, I put it on here, says, Rav Moshe is very machmir. Rav Moshe says, anything is mitzarif then. And therefore he says, if you're at a wedding and they have, what's he write in Hebrew? Mini cakes. They have mini cakes at the wedding. And he says, you have one or two mini cakes. And then you have a full meal. He says, well, he makes two chiddushim. He says, first of all, we hold it to Magen Avraham. Not such a chiddush. So does the Mishnah Berurah. So does all the Ashkenazic poskim nowadays. He says, but it goes by your time and place. In Europe, even if they had bread with other things, they had a lot of bread. So they weren't as rich as we are. Now in America, we're so rich and fancy that we have very little bread no matter what kind of meal. You go to that steak dinner at the White House, you also have very little bread. I'm sure they serve bread at the state dinner at the White House, right? If they didn't serve bread, then what would be justification for giving you a special butter knife? But everyone eats very little bread. So he says it could be that maybe one of these mini cakes is the amount of bread someone eats in the whole meal. And then you have to wash. He says everyone goes to chasa and no one wants to wash because you don't have to say for sherev brachos, even though in a different tshuva he suggested a way around it. He says, but it doesn't work. He says you have to make sure to eat less cakes than anyone in America would eat bread with a meal, which is very little. And if you're not sure, he sounds like most of us aren't sure, then don't eat cakes at all. He's very machmir. He's very machmir. He says any cakes with any other food all comes together to make a meal of pasta b'kistin. Says, but Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted as saying, and they say they found this before, so the Nesivas, the Derech HaChaim. Derech HaChaim is the Siddur with the Pesachim of the Nesivos, called Derech HaChaim. That's like the Pesachim he wrote in the Siddur. And it's not just like, say this, don't say that. Also, you know, sometimes he has a page or two, just like in the Siddur of the Shulchan Aruch Rav, just like in many old Siddurim, you know, just halachas of this, halachas of that. So one place has halachas of brachos. So he says, no. He says, he's not responding to Rav Moshe, obviously, I'm going to say it as if he is. You go to a wedding, you take a little cake, and then you sit down, and you have steak and rice and whatever. That's not mitzarif to be a kviya suda on the cake. You weren't kviya suda on the cake. The cake was just coincidence. You were really kviya suda on the meat, the potatoes, etc. He says, that's not cool. That's what the Magen Avraham meant. What the Magen Avraham meant is, if you look, give me a second, Morty, at the Lashon of the Magen Avraham, what does he say? Achal imo basar dvar macheirim. You eat with the bread. With the bread means to accompany, the bread. And then later on he says, kishem malaftin imo dvar malafes. There's something you want to say, only humamish, spread it on the crackers. That doesn't seem to be shot at Magen Avraham Mishnah Berurah. He says, no, only if you mamish eat with them as if you're eating with bread. What does that mean? That means not like you have for dessert, not you have beforehand at the shmorg. No, you sit down or at a kiddush, and instead of bread, you have crackers with your food. That would be, but you're eating normal meal food. And again, and it also doesn't mean, what if someone, right? Probably all of our kids did this this week. Right? What was dinner on Monday? Or dinner on Tuesday for the Yerushalmiyim? Dinner on Monday for me was Shabbos leftovers. What else would it be? What was dinner on Monday for a kid? Dinner on Monday for a kid is, a bunch of little cakes and cookies and 6 bags of Clicks and, half a kilo of gummies and, 4 boxes of Mike and Ike's, etc. That's not how Moldy Rigor's about it. That's not called Kovea Suda on the cookies. No, because that's not what you would do if you're having bread. You don't have bread with Mike and Ike's and gummies and whatever else I said. It has to be food that you eat with bread, and you have to eat it integrated with the bread at the same time, standing in the same place.
That's going back to the sugya of Machmasa Suda.
And exactly, it has to be in a Machmasa Suda kind of style. It has to be integrated with the bread properly. As a matter of fact, he even goes so far as to say that he thinks if you have, I'm not sure if we agree with him about this or not, if you have a cookies, let's say I have enough cookies, that's the amount of bread people would eat with the steak and the potatoes. But you don't eat cookies with the steak and the potatoes. Maybe crackers with the herring, etc. He said, maybe even it's a googling with schuss for the kid. Not for the kiddush, because kiddush doesn't help. You want to have crackers with herring. For some people, Rosh Shlomo Zalman goes far to say, no, maybe a davka needs to be the kind of pasta of a kistin that most people would integrate with this food. But at the very least, there needs to be some integration. So in what circumstances are they... Mitzarev says the Igros Moshe. Nope. There's any eating at the same general time is Mitzarev then. That is a big, big, that is a tremendous chiddush. He quotes here that he holds. He says from Rosh Shlomo Zalman that no, only if they're yachadim hamizonos, I consider derech, and then that's where Rosh Shlomo Zalman, he himself, Rav Neubert adds in, I consider derech chayim, dini burim bar mizonos, if gimel, the kosher shem came, lehedya, velokshe oklam etchilam at me apasav akistin, and the other thing you're eating separately, like we do in some chasanas, on some chasanas, etc. So says the Derech HaKayim and says Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. He says no, only if eaten together mamish. Only if you mamish eat them together. The pashas even for dessert wouldn't count. If I have a whole meal and then I have a nice helping of dessert, that's not called Koveya Sudoso, what the Magen Avraham imagined. No, that's not eating together. That's eating for dessert. I know technically, maybe nowadays we don't have Achor Sudo because we're not south of the Shulchan. But has to be mamish eating together. There are others who quote Rosh Shlomo Zalman. I didn't bring the Bonner Sefer. Who say, no, it has to be mamish food that goes together. The type of other food that goes with this type of pasta of a kistin. I don't know what goes with cookies. I guess what goes with the cake. I don't know. Ice cream has to be cut cake with ice cream. I don't know. But
I don't think they serve that in Lisa.
No, definitely not. But anyone bring a deer shoe even?
Yeah.
Can I borrow your deer shoe for a second? I think he quotes also. Sorry, I didn't. I should have brought a pile of sperm to shear. I've learned. And he says here. Give me half a second to look what he says here. He says, "Where was this? Where's this? Huh? Give me half a second." Chavav, right? Chavav. Yeah. Where is this?
Yeah, like welcome again.
Yeah.
Where did I just
hear it? You got Chavdalet.
Chavdalet in the beginning. Right. Thank you. The beginning of Chavdalet. He quotes Rosh Shlomo Zalman here. Derech Haschayim. He quotes this from Nissan Karelis. Okay, good thing I looked it up. He quotes from Nissan Karelis that Uga and Basar don't go together because you don't eat them together. Okay, so that's from Nissan Karelis. Thank you. I'm glad I looked it up. Can you pass this back, please? It's quoted in the Dershu, footnote 11 on this Mishnah Brura. So he quotes from Nissan Karelis. Karelis, the Chut Shani, not the Chut Shani. The Chut Shani says, sorry, it's a little squished here. He says, only foods that go well together. Meaning it has to be mamish, like meat and crackers, that goes well together. But meat and cookies doesn't go well together. It has to be foods that mamish go well together. So there are three shittas as to how to implement this Magen Avraham in our lives. Is it only things that mamish, they merge well together? It's like it's like a Baha'i kind of malafes where, you know, it's a food that you really might have put on your bread even if you don't. Who sliced up meat and put it on crackers even if right now you didn't? Or is it no? It doesn't have to be food that goes well together. It can be cake and, and other foods, but it has to be really eaten together and integrated, and not you eat one and then you eat the other. Or is it any time the same general sitting, the Rosh makes it sound like even if it's, you know, at different parts of the wedding, maybe it still goes together. The Maisa, we would assume, like the middle sheet, if you eat together, even if it's not, for sure, if it's crackers and herring, nothing goes together better than that. But if you sit down and you have your chasa baba kistin together, but if it's not together, if you're at a wedding and you have the main course, then you go and dance, and then later you come back for the dessert, even though you could have stretched out the one soon in terms of hamotzi, etc. But the maisa, we would be makel and assume that the Magen Avraham doesn't apply then.
Why do you even have to worry about it? The smorgasbord washing and benching has nothing to do with the chuppah. They haven't gotten married yet. There's no sheva brachos. You rishana makom. You have a hefsek.
Yeah, it could be he wasn't talking about the smorgasbord. It's hard to tell exactly what Moshe was talking about. He doesn't say explicitly what he's talking about.
You can't wash and bench at the
smorgasbord. Yeah. Would we mock for Moshe's sheer of pas that he's asking? Oh, we don't need that pas.
That's the other point, which I think also Shlomo Zalman seems to disagree with. Where Moshe says, well, nowadays, if people eat very little, you know, I don't know exactly what he's saying, maybe people eat very little bread. What did the Magen Avraham meant? He meant, you know, if you live at, you know, what does it mean people eat very little bread nowadays? People eat very little bread on Shabbos to be yoitz design because they don't really want to eat the challah. I would assume the shear is not how much. I would assume we also don't go like verboten in terms of that. Not like, oh, well, people would eat one slice of bread nowadays, so one slice of bread is so shear. Okay, how much bread? Good question. How much? How much pas haba b'kisnin says the Igros Moshe? Very little. Says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, he is a good chap. What's the chap of the Shulchan Aruch Rav? He says, you know, if you look at Irvin, you know how they got such a small amount of bread for a meal? I know they want to be makel. They want to be makel, they just make things up. They wanted makel, so they figured out a logical way to be makel. How did they get such a small amount? I mean, that's a pretty small amount of bread, whether it's three eggs or four eggs. That's starvation rations. How did they get such a small amount of bread? It says, they meant you eat it with liftun. They didn't mean you eat it alone, you eat it with liftun. But they were makel, that for Erev, you don't need the liftun, you only put the bread because we want to be makel. So for Erev, we imagine the meal of bread with liftun, and then you only need the bread. As a matter of fact, there are three even bigger coolers than that when it comes to shtufei mevos, that you find something you only eat a little of in a big meal, and that's an amount of a meal, not for Erev, which means possible, but for shtufei mevos, we're not getting into that now. You get crazy coolers. But the Cesar Shulchan Aruch Rav, a pras is the shear of the Magen Avraham and how much you eat with other things. That's what Helpas Erevin is. Helpas Erevin is your own meal. That's ridiculous. It's the shear dafk of how much you eat with liftan. So says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, he says this indirectly. He says, It can't be that the shear is three or four beitzen. That's the shear of how much you eat with lifton, not the shear of how much you eat by itself. That's ridiculous, but everyone understands that what he's trying to say is the shear is three or four beitzen. He happens to say three beitzen. Some people quote four. Let's call it a pras. A pras. I think I saw it from Shlomo Zalman someplace that, you know, it means how much bread you eat together with other things if bread is the main part of the suda. You're having a rich suda. You're not a subsistence farmer in sub-Saharan Africa who eats bread all day, except for holidays. But you're having bread as a chasha part of your meal, not to be yoitzazine bread, not to have a little taste of bread for a variety. You're having bread as a main part of the meal. I think that dovetails fairly nicely with the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that if the bread is a serious part of your meal, then you'd have to have at least three or four beitzim, even though Moshe sounds pretty explicitly like he thinks even less, maybe he says explicitly even less than that. Shulchan Aruch Harav says a pras, which is what he got from Hilchos Erevin, and from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, I don't remember exactly where it was, I'm not going to look up now, he says that no, it's a amount to be a main part of the meal. Halacha l'maisa, I think that if you're having, that Rav Moshe would have big chumras. What if I go to a kiddush? I want to have at least a kazayas. Maybe I want to have at least a kibetza to make sure to be able to say kiddush makam suda l'chala deils. Right? L'chachili, you want to have kibetza. So I want to have a kibetza of crackers. Of course, Rav Moshe, then I already have to wash. And go to Moshe, even if I would say, I'm going to be clever, I'll have a kibetz of crackers, then I'll go say alamechia, and then I'll go schmooze with people, and then I'll say shahako and start eating everything else. Moshe says, still have to wash it, still all together. But since we don't all like Moshe, we'd say, no, you have a few crackers. Now, if bread is an important part of your meal, you would have more than three crackers worth. Come on. And therefore, even with the other foods, certainly if you had less than four baits him of crackers, then we would not worry about it. That doesn't seem to be what the Magen Avraham had in mind. Magen Avraham does say he censors himself a little. He says, "Oh, it's impossible to figure out what that shear of bread is that people eat with other things for meal." And then he goes on and paskins based on it. But clearly, if you had a few crackers, I think that Rav Moshe might say, but no one agrees with him, and you would not have to wash. Thank you for bringing that up. Okay, I think that's it for this part of the shir.
Rabbi, can I ask you a question on the
Yom Yom? Yes, you ask your question, right?
On Rav Huna, I mean, there was a big machlok with Rishonim about what the rib thought, that he thought you didn't make a bracha on Huna at all.
Yes.
What was the
svara
not to make a
bracha
at all?
Was very difficult. If he meant to say bar nefashos, we discussed that in terms of Rashi, which is already difficult.
Is that even difficult?
But if he meant not to make a bracha at all, that I don't have a good svara. The only svara I can think of why he would say not to make a bracha at all is like it's not enough. The Renios is not a chilakvua. That makes no sense. And if I have one strawberry, it's also not a chilakvua. I say a bar nefashos. The only thing I could think of is that everything has sort of its bracha achrona, and when you don't say the right bracha achrona, they weren't metaking a lesser bracha achrona. So if I have one strawberry, they're metaking bar nefashos. Since past there's really benching, if I have less than that, They weren't misakin bor nefashos on bread.
Why not alamichya?
The answer is they weren't misakin alamichya on bread. They were only misakin alamichya on parch. According to the Rif, not according to us. It's a big chiddush. It still mystifies me.
I figured after a meal I understood Rashi. Meaning the fear that if you went to Rashi, there's no bracha, not even bracha, bor nefashos, it could be that it's covered by the meal. Or it could be, because possible the kissin, it's this thing usually after a meal. Maybe if you're just eating it to stop, then there's no after bracha, because it's really something that's supposed to be eaten after a meal, like a dessert mint or something.
That's still a big kiddush, that if you cover it by the benching, if you eat it after the benching, but in any case, that won't help the riff.
But there's a legend that they invented your shabbat kabbal for kiddushes.
invented Yerushalmi Kogel for Kiddushes to get out of this problem. That way you have your Kiddush Makom Sudan, your Mizonos and everything, but it's not possible with Kitzin. It's a top shill, so you don't have to worry about it again, assuming that Yerushalmi Kogel is not possible with Kitzin, which is the 99.9% mainstream sheet. Even though technically you bake it after you cook it, but okay, we assume once you cooked it into noodles, then baking it is low mal of low mort.
What is the kovea non-mealtime food? Some kovea on cake.
That's possible with kitzen. That's what we're talking about.
But that's not possible. It's a piece of cloth, though. Just have a big cake.
Ah, what you're saying is, why isn't everyone who's kovea on cake but the dietary because people don't eat that much cake? It's a great question. You know, and why can we come up with a chiddush that it's only wash and bench if you eat a type of pasul b'kistin that some people sometimes make meals out of?
There's no average meal for cake.
No, it's, if it was bread, how much would you eat? Right? It's a great question. Why don't we say you're crazy if you eat...
Americans love making meals out of dessert.
The truth is, yeah, when I was younger and I was in the Kollel NYU and during lunchtime my wife was far away, I used to just go to the makolet, buy like a cake, wash and bench, and eat it for lunch.
That's a very bachur thing.
When you're in Kollel and it's lunchtime, you're a bachur because your wife's far away. Exactly. I think that's makolet among avreichim, the way your wife's not washing, you're a bachur. No, that when your wife's not looking, you're a bachur. Was an Avreich like shave if his wife is out of town? No, probably not. Anyway, back to our main topic. It's a great question. Obviously, what they mean is that if you have a different idea about how big a meal is, but you don't get to decide, like Rav Huna, how big a meal is. No, but to decide what you're making a meal out of, that we don't say butler dietary kol adam, we say you're making a meal out of this. I have to think about how to formulate the answer to your question. Let's leave that a little bit sarcastic for now.
It's a good argument for like that's for crackers. The other two things are super sweet, but that's your definition of husband. It's an argument that you guys just heard.
It's a good argument. Yeah, okay. But Lamaisa, it's out of Paskin. Okay, let's talk for a few over on both. Okay. No one wants to give me a Chalishta Das. I get Chalishta Das when we don't get up to today's Makorosh. So I have to let me move ahead a little. Not my fault, I'm prepared. You should know, every day when I walk into Shir, I think I'm going to finish the Makorosh.
Wow.
I don't know what that says about my powers of induction. But anyway, what is pasul b'kistin physically? Pasul b'kistin means some physical thing. What physical thing? Like the word, let me be very clear. Pasul b'kistin doesn't mean a conceptual idea. The words mean a specific food, which has something to do with the word kistin. So what specific food does pasul b'kistin mean? How many shitas are there?
Two.
Who said two?
Rashi and Tosafot. At least three.
No, that was Lachmanios. I didn't say Lachmanios. I said pasul b'kistin, right? Pasul b'kistin, there are probably three main shitas in what pasul b'kistin means. Who wants to tell me? Okay, historical order. Who went first? Well, do we have Gaonim? Haigon,
yeah.
Right? That's true. Rav Haigon. Yes. Rav Haigon is quoting the Sefer Ha'aruch, yes, as well as everyone else. Okay. Says Rav Haigon. He says that it is crackers. Crackers, yeah. Slash whatever. Meaning, it means crackers, I don't know, biscuits, whatever, pretzels. Maybe the same thing. Pretzels, it is hard. What does that have to do with
kistin?
Hard, crunchy, right? Like crackers. And what does that have to do with the word kistin? What's the shorish of kistin for him? Or he didn't say what the shorish is, but he then goes on and koseis. Seems to imply koseis. You have to be koseis. You have to. You have to. You have to chew a lot of things, but it means that you have to like crumble and crunch it apart. You have to break it apart with your teeth, right? Koseis is often used for hard things, right? Kosachita, it's not porridge, it's like a whole grain of wheat. So hard and crunchy, miloshon koseis, like crackers. Okay, how about Rabbeinu Chanano?
Kiss.
Miloshon kiss, kiss, man. Miloshon kiss, right? Miloshon kiss, it is filled pastry, right? Like, classic, what would be our most classic example? Babka. How do you make babka? You make challah dough, right? Challah dough, let's assume we're Ashkenaz, whatever it would be, bread. But then instead of just serving the bread, you put pockets of chocolate in between and wrap it around, or other filled pastries that we have. Post-Kim assume pie is also Rabbeinu Hananel's kiss then. Hamantashen. Hamantashen is also possible of a kiss then. I mean, it might also be another definition. And what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says sweet. Sweet dough, meaning you don't, it's soft. It says the Rambam, Isa sheni losha bedvash or b'shemen or b'cholav or she'irva mini tavlin va'afav yanikra pas haba'a b'kisnin. Now, he doesn't only say sweet. It's also if it's with cholav, it's also if it's with tavlin. I'm not sure exactly what a tavlin he had in mind. I mean, all of these make it somewhat sweet. I don't know if it has to be davka sweet. It's interesting. What about shemen? He doesn't say. Maybe not. Sweet or...
savory?
Well, he doesn't... I don't know if tavla means savory.
Oil.
Or he doesn't say oil, I said. Or at least, like, maybe tavla is like cinnamon or something, which is not sweet, but it's still a... what?
Rambam has shemen.
Oh, sorry? Did I skip a word? Oh, well, b'shemen, good. Okay, so a sweet or rich dough or something, right? Sweet or spiced or rich dough. Let's call it a rich dough. A rich dough, and that would be, for example, cake, right? Cake doesn't have pockets of anything, normal cake. Doesn't have pockets of anything. It's certainly not hard. Or soft cookies, right? Chewy cookies. Doesn't have pockets of anything. They're not hard, but they're a very, very sweet. They're a very, very sweet dough. What?
It doesn't fit the definition of pie.
What do you mean?
It's not the final product of our bread.
Okay, you're getting ahead of yourself. It could be that that's the shita of Rashi as well. Rashi says... Right? It's some sort of rich dough. It doesn't seem to be cake. It seems to be more of a biscuit of some sort. I don't know exactly whether it's hard or soft. It's hard to tell how hard or soft biscuits would be. Maybe it's also hard, but that was seems to be that. I don't know if that's the point. It could be this is also Rashi, and if this is also the Shita of Rashi, then that would explain what one thing is unclear for you. What's the lotion of kisnin for the Rambam is not 100% clear to me. Why is it called kisnin? According to the Rambam. Anyone? Why does the Rambam, what's the root word of kisnin for the Rambam? What? Where am I? It could be like Rashi. Rashi says, kisnin is, I don't know why the Rambam would necessarily be like Rashi, at the very least Rashi says, the lashon of kisnin is, kisnin really means klayos, puffed wheat, roasted grains, whatever they are. And bava kisnin doesn't mean the pas is kisnin, means you eat it together with kisnin. So I don't know if that is. I have no specific.
The Rambam is something that's part of the isa of Yudbeis.
Correct. So I just don't know if Walsh of kisnin, unless he thinks koseis means to eat a little of something and something you eat a little of.
Yeah, so before she was going to kisnin together, that's he looked at this and they served it with kernels.
Ah, it's a shuvas agonim.
Yeah.
Where is it?
So this is quoted in a Shuta shuvas agonim. It's actually quoted in Rav Haigon, which is actually interesting. This is a different chapter of Haigon.
Hmm. Interesting. So then maybe it is. Rambam and maybe Rashi. Let's put Rashi with the Rambam. It's rich dough, and maybe it's pas shenechal biyachad im kisnin. And then we don't, you know, the word kisnin, we know kisnin can mean haim kisnin, gemali liba can mean klaus.
So Rashi is a shaker.
What?
Rashi Vayesha leaves out the word pa, just calls it pas kisnin.
Right, which would be weird. It wouldn't fit this Rashi then. Right. Unless it's Lav Davka there, yeah. But then what does kisnin mean?
No, Rashi
kisnin
is dried out wheat and sweet. Roasted wheat is sweet.
You think but the Rambam doesn't say it's made of roasted wheat. The Rambam says you put on the ingredients in the dough. He doesn't say you use different kind of flour. So I don't think that could be. Okay, we don't know. Okay, anyway, how do we paskin among these three deals? How do we paskin among these three deals? So what does the Mechaber say? As the Mechaber says, Yesh Mefarshim, etc. First of all, he has a very important machlokes in Sfardim and Ashkenazim within the derech of the Rambam, right? Yesh Mefarshim Kisim, etc. Yesh Mefarshim Isa she'ir batzvash or shemen or chol v'mini tavlam va'afa fushi etam tarovitz v'mipirzo tavlam nikar be'isa. It has to taste different. And then he says, Yishun Farshim, he quotes the Rav Haigon. And then the Ramah argues, he says it just has to taste different. Says the Ramah, no, just tasting different is not enough to make it possible. But kisnin, says the Ramah, shezen nikar pas gomer, that's pas gomer. El gish v'har be tavlam dvash kemin in sikah shakorin lekech. No, it has to have the ikker, the sweet or other taste, not just taste a little different. So this is how, and ends the Mechaber. V'alocha k'divrei kulam. So, but here we have a fundamental machlokes in the Mechaber and the Ramah. Says the Mechaber, any added taste, says the Ramah, only an overpowering taste. And that's why, ad hayom hazeh, Ashkenazim make hamotzi on Shabbos without worrying about kviya suda or anything, make hamotzi all the time on egg challah, as we call it, or sweet challah. While Sfardim only make hamotzi on water challah, because our challah, Sfardim say our challah tastes like cake. What's the truth? Our challah tastes a little more like cake. Clearly, it's nicker in our challah that it doesn't taste like water challah, it doesn't taste like pita, doesn't even taste like angel's bread. Right? And the angel's bread, I think Sfardim would also say hamotzi, even though it has a few ingredients, and it's not nicker that it tastes different than water challah. But our challah clearly has an added, recognizable taste, but it's not an overpowering taste. It's not cake. Hey, we all know the difference between our challah and cake and cookies. And therefore, Ashkenazim say hamotzi, Sfardim say mazonos. The Eda Charedis, next. The Eda Charedis has a famous shita, which they say the Achronim say, how do you determine the Ramah? You determine the Ramah by Haim Iker, the majority. And that's what the Mishavur says. You need the robe, because all days are nirgish atam, har be'odos the Iker. So there are two ways to take this Mishavur. The way, the incorrect way that Eda Charedis takes it is, they say, oh, it depends on rov. It's a chalos. If you use rov of other things in the dough, then it is pasul b'kisnin. If you use rov water, then it is regular bread. And therefore, if you make rolls with more apple juice than water, and they pick apple juice because it's not quite as powerful as some of these other things, So it'll still taste like regular challah, but it'll have a chalosa, a rove of apple juice, or you can put all of the apple juice into very weak apple juice. Then you make mezonos, that's Eda Haredes mezonos rolls. If you're not in the Eda Haredes, if you're in the Eda Haredes, then okay, that's your minhag. If you're not in the Eda Haredes, then you don't hold from that. You know, like other, you know, whether they are in the Haredes, if they're not in the Eda Haredes, or whether or not they're Haredim, if they're not in the Eda Haredes, they don't hold from that. That's only in Eda Haredes, Shitas Yachid. Shitas Yachid, Eda Haredes is you go by technically what the ingredients are. The sheet of everyone else is no, Shani Mishmurus, whether it's Nirgash Ma'od or not. Does it have an overpowering other taste in the dough, or does it not? And if mezonos rolls taste like our challah that we eat on Shabbos, then they're not mezonos rolls, they're only Eda Haredes mezonos rolls. If they taste like cake, if they taste like cake, the tzura of rolls, then they're mezonos rolls. And if you're not Kaveh Suda, on the airlines you're always Kaveh Suda anyway, so it doesn't matter, and they always taste like regular bread. But if you're, then you say hamotzi. But most Eda Haredes mezonos rolls are really hamotzi, because even though they measure out the rove is apple juice or something, they have a whole recipe to make it still not taste like cake. And it's not an overpowering taste. It's not, and therefore, I guess have a little nibble beforehand of each, you know, manufacturer mezonos rolls, then you'll know for the rest of your life. And if it, see if it tastes like challah or like cake. Most of them taste like challah. They say, well, regular challah, you use more water than oil. Here, we use more apple juice than water. And therefore, it becomes mezonos, but that's not true because it's not an overpowering taste.
What do you mean the fact that they mentioned, or Fargo mentions, and Arun Khan mentions about like whether it's a good meal or not, in terms of the definition of talk about the case name?
What do you mean?
The film's rush talks about like it's eaten as a dessert, it's eaten after the meal.
Give me a second. Okay. Okay, let's, yeah.
Did you repeat what you said about on the airplane?
Okay. On the airplane, they always serve mezonos rolls, so you don't have to wash.
Right. But you go here,
so there are two reasons why that doesn't make sense. Number one is everyone's coming a suda on mezonos rolls because you eat it with the rest of the airline meal and you eat a suda. Number two, okay, the airline meal maybe is a small suda, but it's hard to say.
It's a cherim kovima. Certainly suda. A cherim kovima, though.
Yeah. And maybe it's a bare bone suda, but Mechori qualifies as a suda. And the other problem is that that the mezonos rolls on the Gevilla plane often taste just like the challah we eat on Shabbos. Anyone ever eat the taste of the mezonos rolls on the plane? Do they taste more like cake or like the challah we eat on Shabbos?
It's like
what? Okay, if so, then it's not possible to kiss them, according to the Ramah. For Sfardin, that's fine. The Eda Haredes has Sfardi. Would for sure agree. But anyway, then the problem is it tastes like our challah, so how can we say hamotzi on challah and mezonos on those mezonos rolls, even if we wouldn't be kaveh suda? Eda Haredes says, because you go by, you measure out the ingredients. In the challah, you have more water than oil, while in this, we put in more apple juice than water or something. And we go by the rove, but halacha's not really go by the rove. It's to go by whether the taste is overpowering. And when I say the taste isn't overpowering, then it's not mezonos rolls. So that's why everyone who's not in the Eda Haredes, the gamut of, I'm not talking about Sfarad, the gamut of Ashkenazi poskim, everyone but the Eda Haredes from one side to the other side, all say that the mezonos rolls are amotzi. Let's just talk about one, yeah.
Even if you're not Kovei Suda. On the rolls.
Even if you're not Kaveh Suda, correct. If it doesn't taste like, if it tastes like challah, not cake, then even if you only eat one bite, it is hamotzi, and even if you only eat one kazayas, it's birkas hamazon. Okay, let's do one last hakira before we don't get to sheet 52. And it's all your fault. The famous Hakira of the Maimer Mordechai, which the Bir Halacha quotes. The Bir Halacha quotes a famous Hakira. Why do we paskin Halacha ke Divrei Kulam? Why do we paskin like Divrei Kulam? What are the two ways to explain why we paskin like Divrei Kulam?
So I have no idea what it is.
So that's what the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says, the Bir Halacha starts by quoting and this is Pshat in the Beis Yosef. If you look inside the Beis Yosef, this works. He starts by quoting Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, I wonder, Misafik, halacha kedivrei kulam, and says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Sarech Ion, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Sarech Ion, why we don't say a Yerei Shemayim should just have real bread and get out of the Safik. Now you can answer his question. Maybe the Tzarech Ion is when there's no other option to be Yotzei Bevadai B'dievet. Here, everyone agrees B'dievet and Zonas is Yotzei even if it's bread. And everyone agrees B'dievet? Oh, that's not so clear if everyone agrees. You have to assume B'dievet al-Mechli is Yotzei on bread. You have to take that side of the Chakira, which maybe he doesn't want to. But one way is Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, Safek Brachos Lahakel. Something brachos lahakel, and therefore you can't say three brachos of Birkas HaMazon, four for us, right? Midi Rabbanan. You have to say one brachos of Al-Michya, because you can't say more brachos than necessary. Something brachos lahakel, and once you are saying Al-Michya, you say Mazonos, and also maybe Mazonos is for sure Yotzi for everything. Maybe you're not sure for Yotzi Tamotzi.
Why is that something brachos? Is something the right thing?
Whoa! You're getting ahead of ourselves. However, he quotes the Mamar Mordechai, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and most, and Ode Achronim, let's say, who say Savi Rav Lahakel. The other is the Mamar Mordechai and the Orach HaShulchan. I don't think I gave you the Orach HaShulchan, but it's in Mamar Mordechai. It's quoted in the Orach HaShulchan. Seth Chaf Gimel here. He says no. He says there's a three-way machlokes in the dictionary in Parshanot how to interpret the word pasav abakistan. But there's no machlokes halacha. They all agree with each other because they just argue what the word means. They don't argue what the principle is. The principle is a kind of bread you eat for a snack and not for a meal. Rabbi Chanan, everyone who says that, everyone mentions, maybe Huda pointed out, whenever they say they're shita, they mention it's eating for a snack, not for a meal. So why do they disagree with each other? What do you think? Rabbi Chanan, you think Rabbi Chanan would say that a chocolate cake is a hamotzi because it doesn't have a pocket of anything? No, he was saying that this is what Hazal we're talking about, but the principle would apply to chocolate cake as well. You think a pretzel? So maybe he says, no, there's no machlokas. Meaning, this is a fundamental machlokas. When Chazal made these rules, basically the machlokas is technical versus conceptual. Did Chazal make this rule about a specific kind of food, which is masukah, which it is, so suffering brachos lahakel? Or no, Chazal made a principle, as there's meal foods and there's non-meal foods. So what's the svara? The svara is... What's the principle? The principle is there's a takanas chazal on a specific tzura. There's a specific tzura called hamotzi and a specific tzura called pasav abakistan. Or no, the takanas chazal was on snack food, snack bread versus meal bread. Right? Takanas chazal was on snack food versus meal food. Obviously, I don't mean food. I mean baked goods, right? We're only talking about baked goods. I don't care if you're beef. There's no difference between roast beef and beef jerky. Those are all shahakal. But snack foods versus meal foods. And they argue what the example is, but they don't argue what the principle is. The nafkaminas would be tremendous. The nafkaminas would be tremendous. One nafkamina could be
not even close.
The this is a real chalish sadas. We'll have to come back to the nafkaminas, but I'll point out we'll have two sugim of nafkaminas. One nafkamina is the bracha vada, is the bracha of safek that will affect certain things. The other nafkamina will be, are we wedded to these categories, or do we just use the principle? Right? So all these will have to be fleshed out, but let me just point out that what's the nafkamina? Nafkamina... I'll say about that. Nafmina type 1. Everything's really suffic bracha, and that'll cheshbon one way, or everything's a vadai bracha, and that'll cheshbon a different way. Nafmina number 2. I only care about these three things, me suffic. Or I don't actually care about these three things. I just care what people eat for a snack and what people eat for a meal. And those three are really not kovea anything. They're just examples. Like, for example, what if something met none of these criteria, but it was still a snack food? Or it met one of the criteria, but it was definitely a meal food, etc. Okay, we will have to come back to that Amir Tashem next time. There's a lot of Makoros we didn't get to yet. I'll have to figure out something clever to send out from Makoros, because if I send out like the next Mishnah, then that'll be might be a bit too ambitious. Okay. That would be, and everyone should have to bring it in, and we could have a contest. So I will have to figure that out. Meanwhile, I hope people are behind in the Makoros. I don't usually like to say that. What? You're all caught up. Okay.